But today, I've been privileged to be the one who will be speaking, and we are introducing a week seminar that will start is starting now, and I hope that God will grant us with the grace to come and attend during the week. So today we are introducing a week seminar, so I will ask the major to be with me. And the topic of the seminar, so today we are introducing a seminar that will be focused on how, as a Christian, we can create and maintain a financial independent life walking with God. Yeah, we know as a Christian, in nowadays, we can't say that we are not concerned by this topic, because we all depend on financial matters. So to be here at the church, we had to use transport, isn't it? And I guess someone missed this Sunday service because he struggled getting transport. I know that to be here, we had to put on nice clothes, and we bought it. To clean it, to wash it, we used soap. So there is no way we can say that as we are Christian, we are not concerned about this. So financial questions is something that will interfere with us in all our life in different circumstances. I can't give all details, but you know that all what we are having, we need to have money. Even to have this service, we had the electricity interruption. And maybe, in other case, I guess they just cut, the company cut it. But if your cash power is out of money, what happens? So you're going to get interruption. So we are all concerned about this. And as a church, we are invited to reflect on how, in a Christian context, we can make it to create and maintain a financial independent life. And what does it mean? To be financial independent, what does it mean? And that is the first question on which we want to answer as we are introducing this sermon. To be financial independent means to have enough financial resources to answer to the different needs that we have in our daily life. And not only in short time, but in long time. It means that to be financial independent, it doesn't depend on the cash that I have now for my today needs. But it depends on today, tomorrow, and after tomorrow until our retirement. So it means that in our daily life, we should ensure that in my financial behavior or in my financial decision, I'm also taking account of tomorrow. For example, if I'm buying something, a car, I have to make sure I will be able to fuel it for the coming 5 years. I know people who bought a car and they have sold it a few months after because they were unable to do what? To fuel it. So the search for financial independence is something ideal that we are looking for. So everyone wants to be financial independent. But a few of us are able, and we are going to answer to different questions. Why this? There are so many reasons why most of us, most in this African context, people are not financial independent. I work as an entrepreneur, so I run a business development service, so I used to receive people at my office for different questions. And I can assure you that most of people are struggling to be financially independent. For the last 3-5 years, I've been teaching the fiancé in this church about family economy, and we had the last session this week with the pastor about the series, and we found that it was very difficult for most of them to cover their budget. We had an exercise whereby they have to cover 20 items on the budget. And we did a survey within a class of about 20 couples. And you know what happened? We got the average income for each couple. Then we tried to use that money to cover the 20 items of the budget. And from the 10th item, the money was off. And most of us here, if we ask you about budget, how many of you have a home family budget, a monthly budget, and it is written? How many of you? You have a written budget for your family. A few of us, and even those who have a monthly budget, if we ask you, how many of you, before going to supermarket for the shopping, you go to check your financial budget? I know those who work as accountants in different companies or here in the church, they used to check that before they approve any expenses. So we have so many financial aspects in this church. But how come when it comes to family level, we fail? This is the reason why the church has decided to give us this opportunity to go through different teachings about financial independence. So, there are so many reasons, as I told you, that prevent us from not being financially independent. The first reason is personal belief. There are people, most here in Africa, who believe that we have been created to live like that. I've been with so many people who think that as Africans, we have been created to be poor. Or I've been with so many poor people, not only African, if we go to Haiti and other countries across the world, there are so many people where people are struggling, are having the same challenge. Even in Europe, I was in the U.S. I saw homeless people in the U.S. I saw people in London. I remember I was in a restaurant in London, and I saw a family coming, and they had only money to take chips without even any single meat. And I came to understand that this problem is not only affecting us Africans. Even in Europe, even in the U.S., there are people struggling. The low level of faith, there are people who don't have faith. They don't believe that they have a way to overcome this challenge. And during the seminar, we are going to discover what can we do and how to overcome this challenge. Apart from the faith, we have the culture. So, and I was speaking to fiancés, telling them that when you organize your wedding, please don't behave as we used to do. You know, here in Goma, when we have a wedding, people, they're going to fill a big hall, 500 to 1,000 people, a very big buffet. And then after crisis, no money left in the pocket of the new couple, isn't it? And we used to say that after wedding is crisis time. And I thought, who told you that after wedding is crisis time? It's a cultural thing. During the wedding, we have to finish. We have to finish even the little scent. And some of us, they came up taking even loan for the wedding. I'm teaching financial education, and I always advise people, if it is possible, just come here, take the wedding. After a photo session, go back to your home. Because the only souvenir that we keep is the photos. And I was telling to the fiancé getting ready for the wedding that, if possible, if you can't make it to feed people, that is not important for you. After photos at Majima to live with, that it's not expensive, $50. You have nice photos. And that is the only souvenir we keep, isn't it? But why are we wasting money? This is a cultural thing. And another thing is about education. How are we educating our kids? When you give to your kid $5 pocket money, how is he educated to use that money? Is he taking account of the future as he's using that money? Because in most of cases, we're going to find that when you give money to kids, they also want to spend all. Sometimes I make tests with my kids. I say, okay, we go in the supermarket. I give you $10 budget, and it's up to you to choose what you're going to buy. And I see how the reaction will be. In most of context, our kids will better want to use all the money at one time and go back with things, biscuit, chocolate, and other items, and go without any cent in the pocket. So it's also a matter of education. The lack of financial education from the family and from the education system. So in DRC, we are struggling because our national education program has no any course about financial education. So this is a big challenge for us. So let us see now, what does the Bible say about this? And we are going to read quickly because we have a few time and many things to cover. We are going to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31. And it says this: God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased every evening, past, and morning. Here we found that God, at the end of the creation process, he was very pleased. But if we go back, at every step, God was saying, it is good. First day, at the end, he said, it is good. Second day, it is good. Third day, it is good. Fifth day, it is good. Sixth day, it is good. And then at the end, God said, it is very, very good. And it is then after that God created other human beings. And from the book of Genesis 2:15, we read this: then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. So this is the mission that God gave us, to keep and maintain what he has made very good, so we can maintain it very good and enjoy from it in all our life. But why now we are not enjoying? Because if we go in our personal stories, each one of us will give you his problem. Even those who are having high level of salary. You know what is happening here, most of our family. When you have a high salary, all your family will put their eyes on you, isn't it? And you have a big pressure. Dr. Neil, he's a white man, he's here, but you can't know how many people go to see him. And I have one experience with him where he was supporting one guy. Even those people who are international here, they have a big pressure, because everywhere they've been working, they have people sending them messages. And this is a real experience, isn't it? So never think that he's an international, he has an international position, so he has a high level of salary, so he has no problem. No, that is a mistake. The more we are blessed, the more we have pressure. Myself, I have that experience. If you buy a nice car, people look at you. The day of the wedding, they will be coming, taking that car. And here in Goma, we say that when you buy a car, it's not your car. So it's a community car. Because if you have the most nice car in this parish, every Saturday prepare not to use it for wedding. Isn't it? Isn't it? And you have to have a big heart to get ready for that. If you bought a pickup, make sure when there is a burial, people will contact you. Now we are blessed because there are now this professional service. But before that, people who have the pickup, they used to suffer. So 3 days per week, it has to be in a burial somewhere. Then we're going to see how, why we are living this life and while God has prepared good conditions for us. We are going to read the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, from 6 to 11. Let me read quickly. Lazy people should learn a lesson from the way ants live. They have no leader, chief, or ruler, but they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for winter. How long is the lazy man going to lie in bed? When is he ever going to get up? I'll just take a short nap, he says. I'll fold my hands and rest a while. But while he sleeps, poverty will attack him like an armed robber. So here we are very challenging. Do you know an ant? An ant is a very small insect. And we used to walk and kills thousands of ants. Those who have been granted to walk in a bush, they have killed thousands of ants. Because you walk on them, you can't even see them. They can't even cry. Because they are very small insects. And the Bible is inviting us to learn from the ant. And whenever I speak about this, I used to ask, how big is the brain? How many times our brain is big compared to the brain of an ant? Can someone have an answer? How big? My brain is big. How many times? It can be billion times. It can be billion times. So the size of the brain compared to the size of the human beings. And if we are invited to learn from the ant, this means we have failed from our responsibility. And today, God wants to remind us that we still have a chance to catch up because we have failed. And the invitation to each one of us is to go and make a self-evaluation about what am I doing to make sure that I'm maintaining, I'm keeping things as God created, and I'm enjoying from it. And I'm helping people also around me to enjoy from it. So as we are challenged and asked to learn from the ant, from the wisdom of the ant, the issue here is what? Is that most of us, we are still struggling, and so many people, they die without so many things not accomplished because they never had this reflection in time. But if we are blessed to have this reflection in time, so it's an opportunity for us to do something. And as we go in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, we won't read, but I will just go through it quickly as my time is running out. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, from the verse 14, this is the parable of the three servants who got the talent from their master. And the first one got how many talents? How many? Show your hands here with me. How many talents? Five. The first one got five talents. The second one, how many? The third one, one talent. And what happened as a result? The first one got how many? 10. The second one? 4. The third one? 1. And the master said, congratulations to the first and the second because they were able to multiply from 5 to 10 and from 2 to 4. And for the last one, the master said, you rather take it and put it in the bank. And that is long ago. And I didn't know that we had the bank so long ago. So it can generate interest. And what lesson are we learning from this? Is that each one of us has got a specific talent from God. So it is our responsibility to make sure that we are efficiently use our talent and use it powerfully so we can fulfill what God has asked us to do. In which book? In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15. To cultivate and guard. It means we have to multiply what God has created for us. And I have one example, is the maize. You see, when you take the maize, how many of us, when you are eating a maize, you have been able to count these grains. Someone has did it and said that he got 500 grains. It means that if you plant one seed of maize, you can harvest how many after? 500. And who is making it grow? Are we the one? No, God is doing everything. God is just asking us to practice something. I made a multiplication matrix with my students in my academy, and it was about if you do pig farm from two, one female and one male, how many you can have after 5 years. You can reach $1 million from two pigs. And there are so many samples. There are so many examples. So what God is asking us is to not stay doing nothing. Because it is a sin for us Christians staying doing nothing. And may God help us to understand this word and be able to practice this message. But before I finish, I'm going to give you a few steps to go through so we can be able to be financial and independent and maintain it. But before that, I want to let us know that there are two things that prevent us from practicing what I just said. Is the fear of the risk, like the third servant did, and the shame to develop a neglected activity. You see this photo? This photo is myself doing waste management 10 years back. And I was so passionate for this. This used to be my job from 2008 to 2015. And now I have a company doing this. Like if you go to take something to Serena, make sure I will collect the waste after. And I will get money from that. And this is one of the neglected activities that is generating millions of dollars for people. If you see me wearing a nice suit, sometimes it came from that job. And so many people are coming to see me. How can we get money like you? So there are so many examples that we can follow so we can be financial independent. So what can we do now? A few steps. I'm going to go through it very quickly. I would please to the media to project, because so we can follow and those who write can write. First step is make a self-evaluation about your financial situation. So the first thing to do after this sermon is go and sit, either yourself or as a family, to do a self-evaluation. Second is set a vision and goals. Take the time to pray for it. So go and set your vision and goals. 5 years, 10 years, goals, write them down on a sheet of paper, take time to pray for it, and live accordingly looking at it. Third step Seek or develop an activity that provides you with income and manage well your time. You know, the only resource that is common for us, if you ask to Elon Musk, the top rich man of the world, how many hours he has per day, Elon Musk? How many hours he has? He has 24 hours. Aliko Dangote, who is an African like us, how many hours he has per day? 24 hours. The only resources that God has given us equally is time. You may say, oh, we have a security in DRC. Oh, we have this in Africa. Oh, we have bad governance. But time is the resources that is common for all of us. So how are you using your 24 hours? If you try to reflect on how you are using your 24 hours, you will find that you are wasting. Some of us, they are just employed for 8 hours, and you still have 16 hours remaining. How are you doing with the 16 hours? From my experience, I work 16 hours per day. I go even up to 20. My average number of hours, business hours per day, 16 to 20. That is my average. Because of my goals. If I go less, I can't reach my goals. I can't reach my target. So what are your goals? What are your targets? The fourth point, train yourself in financial education and practice it. Be driven by a good financial culture. I said there are things that are cultural and we have to be a good example, not walking as our parents did, just as blind people. Five, free yourself from debt. If you have a debt, pay it first. A Christian should make an effort to live without debt. And only take a debt to finance investment that generates return on investment. Have a budget culture, six, have a budget culture and maximize saving for future. Most of us, when we have $100 per month, we use all. And if you speak to many people, before even the end of month, they've used half of their revenue, of their income. And as they are getting their payment, they are paying 50% loans, and the 50% remaining, they don't know what to do. And that's why most of us, they are not paying the tithe, they are not giving the tithe, because it is impossible. They're using half of the money before they get it. Teach financial education to our family members, even very young children. You can be a good example, but if your family is not educated, you end up paying their debt, and you get in trouble at the end of the day. Seven, diversify your sources of income. So make sure if you are employed, but you are developing a farm somewhere. And this is possible. Do a good accounting of income, of your income, to calculate the tithe correctly. Why people are not giving the tithe? Because we don't know even how many we are getting. Most of those who are doing business. So during the week, we are going to tell you how you can do this. And in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, we learn a lot about tithing. And the Bible is inviting us to get blessing through giving tithing. Correct tithing. So 9, make priority the search of kingdom of God whenever you are facing a challenge that puts you at risk of compromising yourself for financial reasons. So most of us, we have opportunity to get money, but not in a good way. So we should pray God to help us not to go in that way. Do not enjoy alone. That is the last thing. Your blessing. If you are blessing, you are not blessed for you. You are blessing for you and for people that God has put around you. So we are sorry for the time. I wish we had more time to go deeper. So I pray that God help us to go and make a self-evaluation and make good decisions for our future. So as we are living on a daily life, we are acting accordingly, taking account of our future even 50 years after. And may God help us May God bless us and bless his word. Amen.